This call is being recorded.
May God continue to bless you, Evangelist Hoskins. We thank God for you. May he continue to bless you. Good morning, family. Good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. As the psalm that was read said, let all that hath breath praise the Lord. And certainly, the fact that you are on this teleconference line this morning, it means that you do have breath. So let us just praise the Lord for his goodness. All of our life, he has been good to us. So let's give him a hallelujah shout this morning, for indeed, he is a good father, he's a good friend. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so this morning, I thank God for each and every one of you. And on behalf of the leadership and membership of New Life Church of God, I greet you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. And I welcome you to our 8 a.m. service. May God continue to bless you. I know that something good is going to happen to you today, because the Word of God always brings a blessing to our lives. Praise God. And so this morning, God has our daily bread that he will give to us this morning. He has provided it for us even before the very foundation of the world. And today, he has his servant, Pastor Colin Baxter, who will come to us with our daily bread. Pastor Baxter is a man of God who knows how to rightly divide the word of God. He has been a tremendous blessing to all of us over these many years, and we thank God for him, and we pray that God will continue to strengthen him and to keep him. And so this morning, I welcome Pastor Colin Baxter, the speaker, as the Lord will have him to. God bless you, man of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Praise God. We welcome the presence of God with us here this morning. Thank you, Evangelist Hoskins, for that wonderful devotion. God bless you. God bless you. I extend greetings to our senior pastor, who you just heard, Dr. Yvette Williams, and to Dr. Roper, to our ministers, to our evangelists, our deacons. Greetings this morning to everyone who has joined us by way of this teleconference. I want to say a pleasant good morning to each of you. To God be the glory. I invite you this morning to join with me and as we go to our Bibles. I often say, you're in the comforts of your home, so you can pull up your smart devices. We're going to go to the book of Lamentation. We're going to look at chapter 3 this morning, Lamentations chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 22 through 32, Lamentations chapter 3, 22 through 32. Here beginning the reading of the Word of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I like this. To the soul that seeketh him, verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silent, because he had borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. Verse 31, for the Lord will not cast off forever. And the last and final verse, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Let me read that one more time. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And this is the word of the Lord for this morning's lesson. Praise God. Most loving Father, God, how grateful we are to you this morning, God, for gathering us, oh God, like a hen would gather her chicken. We thank you, God, for bringing us in your presence one more time. We thank you for the service thus far. I pray that, God, that your word may go forth this morning and touch hearts, oh God, and turn souls over to you that don't know you yet as Lord and Savior. Speak to us today, God, through your word. We've come, God, to hear from you, God. God, I want to lose myself now, oh God. Let these words not be mine, but oh God, let them come from your throne room this morning. Use me as an oracle, as a vessel to meet the needs of your people, including myself this morning, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. I want to draw on the topic from the 32nd verse of this chapter here that we read. And those words said, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion. And what I want to use for our topic this morning is that his action is necessary. God's action is necessary, but he will have compassion. His action is necessary, but he will have compassion. Whatever God does, saints of God, in our lives, whenever God does something, it is necessary that he does it. But God is letting us know through his servant Jeremiah this morning that he will still have compassion. When he chastens us, he will have compassion. When he corrects us, he will have compassion. And as we look at the book this morning, the name of this book, as we know, it's Lamentations, and which consists of only five chapters, perfectly describe the contents of the book here, the lamenting. Lamentation is derived from the root word to lament, which we know means it is to cry, to express sorrow, it is to mourn, to regret strongly, or to consider the thing that's unfortunate. We worry and we cry out about that thing. This book is a collection of five lamentings and written by the prophet Jeremiah, commemorating, or I should say, remembering the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in 586 BC. Jeremiah, who we come to know from reading through the scriptures, Jeremiah, Lamentation, two books that he wrote, we came to know him as a weeping prophet. And he was a man who was called of God. And here we find him devastated as he witnessed the awful judgment of God upon Israel as outlined in chapter 1 and through the entire chapter, the entire book. He was there to witness firsthand the destruction of his people, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the destruction of the temple. He saw the slaying of the people and them being imprisoned and them taken away captive into Babylon. We are currently going through the book of named after this prophet in our morning prayer and praise. And as you read these five chapters of Lamentations, you can sense the tears in the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Or you can sense his heartache and the frustration as he witnessed the actions of God against God's own people. Our topic says this morning that those actions were necessary, but God will show compassion. Verse number 8 of chapter 1 said that Jerusalem had grievously, look at the word that came before, sinned. In chapter 1, verse number 8, Jerusalem had grievously sinned. Therefore, she had to be removed. God had to take necessary action. And as children of God, we never want to be at the place where God takes necessary actions against us. Let me say that again, this one more time. We as children of God never want to be at that place where God would have to take necessary actions against us. Hebrews 10 verse number 31 says that it is a fearful thing. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if we think about Jonah found out the hard way that it was a dreadful thing for God to take necessary action against you. The book of Jeremiah chapter 2 verse number 2 says that Jonah cried by reason of mine affliction unto God. And God heard me, he said. He says, out of the belly of hell I cried. Out of the belly of the whale, he says, I cried. And God, thou heardest my voice. Verse number 3 of Jonah chapter 2 says, for thou hast cast me into the deep. Not the devil. This is what he says. For thou, you God, you have cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea. You have cast me. And the floods compassed me about, all thy billows, not all the billows, but all of your billows. He come to the realization that everything around him belonged to God. He says, all thy billows and all thy waves passed me over. Verse number 4, then said I, this is someone that's coming to their senses. He said, then said I, he says, I am cast out of thy sight. It is a bad place to be, out of the sight of God, to be cast away from God. He said, then said I am cast out from thy sight. Ah, but look at this part. Yet I will look again towards the holy temple. In other words, God, I turned away from you to do my own thing. I turned away from you, God, to satisfy my desire. I turned away from you, God, to achieve my own wishes. How many of us have done that from time to time? And he goes on to say, he's saying here this morning, God, that is what had gotten me into this mess that I find myself in. But I will look again to you. And that is what, Jonah says in verse number 4? I will look again to you. Whenever you find yourself drifting, saints of God, there is only one place to look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Oh, it's like the prodigal son. Ah, when he came to himself, he said those same three words. He says, I will arise. Those two words, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Of God, whenever God takes necessary actions against you, the next move is up to you. That next move is up to me. I said that next move is yours. I will arise and go to my father, prodigal son. Or like in Jonah's case, I will look again to you. Is there anyone that feels like you are in a mess right now? Could it be that this is a necessary action of God in your life? Could it be? Only you would know. You know, we love to blame the devil for everything, but this, saints of God, is not the devil's doing. This is God himself stepping in at the right time with his corrective action. You know what got you there, and I sometimes know what got me into a situation. It might be a personal thing. So like Jonah and like the prodigal son, we just have to open our mouth unto God. Don't stay in that pig pen. That's where the prodigal son was, and he came to his senses. Or don't stay in that fish's belly with seaweed wrapped around you. From wherever you are, from that dark place, you got to call out to God. And the prophet Jeremiah in today's lesson, he is face to face with this nation of Israel. As if they had just died, they were in a dark place. They were in a pig's pen, or they were in the belly of the whale. And just as he prophesied to them, and just as he told them what would befall them, he told them that the Babylonians were going to come and take the city. And we saw what happened. They came in and they took the city and they set the city on fire. And there were thousands of people dying in the streets of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was writing what he was witnessing. Tens of thousands had come into the city. They came there for protection. They came there hoping that they would find refuge because Jerusalem was encamped. But there was no food. They ran out of food. There was no water. And after a while, they began to die in the streets, and their bodies, if you look back in the book of Jeremiah, the bodies were left there. They were left on the streets. Diseases started to spread rapidly. While the house of God, while the temple, the place of worship burned. It got so bad that when you read the prophet's report of the prophet's account of what was taking place, where parents were reduced to cannibals, there were parents that were eating their own children for survival. Jerusalem was under siege, and that's how bad it got. And the prophet Jeremiah, if you think about what's happening now, he was like a war correspondent on the ground. If you'll notice what is happening in Russia as she invades Ukraine, Jeremiah was there. He was like a correspondent. And there he was. There he was taking notes. He was recording the destruction that he saw. As he sees it, he pens it, he writes. He records whatever he hears. He heard the cries of the people. And he has to live with the smell. He has to live with the stench of the carnage of his own people day after day. And that's why he laments over what he sees. He laments over what he's experienced. And that is what this word here means, lamentation. It is a strong cry. It is like a funeral dirge, a lament for the dead. Here in the book of Lamentation, he writes these five chapters, 1 through 5, what he sees and what he hears. And he puts pen to paper, and this prophet called of God, he begins to write. And he begins to record. And he does it in such a way that future generations, when they read, they could commit it to memory. We know how the Jews, how they took pride in their history, and he wrote it in such a way that he used the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters, and he commits each chapter to 22 verses as he laments over the devastated situation that's upon them. He sees it, and he writes it, and he puts it in the form of poetry, that those who read, generations to come, would read and understand. They knew their alphabet. And he penned it in such a way that they can understand and knew what their people went through. But right here in the midst of the third chapter, which is in the middle of the book, he repeats each letter of the alphabet 3 times. And that's why this particular chapter does not have 22 verses like the preceding 2 and the following 2 chapters. But this particular chapter has 66 verses. Each verse, he repeated it 3 times. And here is where today's lesson invites us into God's necessary action, as our topic says, God's necessary action for this nation. We are at a unique entrance into this book, because if you are someone that's familiar with the book of Lamentation, you would know that it's a terrible and a difficult time for this people. It's a bad time. It's a really bad time, and it goes on from bad to worse if you know this book. But if you're not familiar with this book, or you haven't read it for a while, these verses alone would somehow cast a different perception, because the verses before our lesson today and the verses that follow our lesson is nothing short of the devastation of God's action. upon this people. Yet in verse 32, where our topic is from, he says, but though he caused grief, he says, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Look at the word that is used here, the multitude of God's mercies. Sense of God, we must understand that the compassion of God is limitless. The multitude of his mercies. God, don't forget that sense of God. And don't ever think that because we know that his mercies are limitless that we can abuse it. Isaiah 55, verse number 7, Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he, God, will have mercy. Let the wicked return unto the Lord, and God will have mercy. Isaiah 55:7, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at the word that comes before pardon. He will abundantly. He is limitless in mercies. The multitude of his mercies fail not. So beginning in our lesson today, verse 21, in chapter 3, the prophet, he thought to himself, he says, this I recall to my mind. In the midst of what is happening here, this is what I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope, he says, it is of the Lord's mercies. This is what I recall. He says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Look what has been happening to my people. Look what has been happening around us. And it's only because of God's mercies why we are not consumed. Because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah is saying, Lord, even though devastation is what I see all around me, even though heaviness is what I feel within me, within my heart, even though I deserve to be consumed and wipe out totally, your faithfulness, God, you are merciful towards me, praise God. We all, he said, we all as a nation deserve to be destroyed because of our thoughts and because of our attitudes towards you. Remember what the Apostle Paul says? He says that there is not one that doeth good. He says, no, not one. Romans 3, verse number 25. And Jeremiah, we know he pours out his heart, and Jeremiah pleaded with the people of God to return back to God. We remember the way he prayed for them and even prophesied to them time and time again that their destruction would come if they don't turn from God. But Jeremiah was treated all the time with contempt, in spite of the numerous persecutions that he faced, that he had to endure from his own people. Jeremiah saw better days ahead. And this is the true mark of a man or a woman of God. They look ahead. They look to the promises of God. Look at what Jeremiah says in verse number 24. He says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. He says, therefore will I hope in him. In other words, I will continue to trust in God. And this is a prophet that we can sense. He has the heart of God for God's people. This is a lesson, saints of God, for all of us, that we must be concerned for the welfare of God's people like Jeremiah did. Whether it is for the body of believers that we assemble with Sunday after Sunday, or the body of Christ on a whole, for the persecuted church in foreign lands, or even for the turning away of erroneous teaching by some that call themselves children of God. We must be concerned like this prophet did. And all we must do as children of God, continue to pray that God's will be done. Verse number 25, he says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. I like that. God is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse number 26, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of God. Certain things you can't rush. You can't rush honey to come out of a honey jar. You have to wait quietly on the salvation of God. Let God do his thing, for lack of a better term. To that man, to that woman who has learned to patiently wait on God, I commend you this morning. You are off to a good start. What you're doing, you're placing your hope in the spoken word of God as you quietly wait. That's all God is asking us to do. You put your hope in the promise of God that is to come, even though difficult times may lie, maybe right in the midst of you as you wait. God is saying, wait, patiently wait. You have to wait until that thing comes true. Though it might be delayed according to you, but it's going to be right on time. While you wait, you are told, why I am waiting, I am told to be quiet, to be silent. Sometimes we yap, yap, yap too much and we complain, why is not my breakthrough? Why my breakthrough is not coming true? We don't want to be find ourselves fussing with the promise of God, or quarreling to say, but we must be a people that can accept what God is doing, accept the process that God is taking us through. And there are those who sometimes ask the question from time to time, you know, why did God do this? Or, you know, why did God do that? Or why did God allow this to happen to such and such a person? Or why did God allow this to happen to a nation or to a people? Or what's happening now in Ukraine? People might be questioning, why is God? Is he not a God of compassion, or is he not a God of love? Yes, he's a God of compassion. He's a God of love. But saints of God, when we err, God sometimes have to come, and God sometimes have to bring correction our way. The book of Nahum chapter 1, I'm going to read just one verse into your hearing, and don't even have to turn there. You can maybe jot it down. Nahum 1 verse number 3 states that the Lord is slow to anger, and he is great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The book of Exodus 34, 6 and 7 says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. This is the love of God. Forgiving our iniquity, forgiving our transgression, and forgiving our sins. He is long suffering. So if for some reason we are experiencing the anger or the wrath of God or the chastening of God, it is because, saints of God, we have brought it upon ourselves the same way Israel had brought it upon themselves. And God is justified in moving against us, because we have violated, we have come against his laws. And when we violate the law of God, our saints of God, there will be consequences. And that's where Israel found herself. So, and today, so with this, even sometimes in the body of Christ, God would move against us as individuals, or sometimes as a group. And there are times when he's going to move against a local assembly because of the direction that they are going, or move against you because of a position that we have taken. And when he moves, saints of God, against us, it is because of because of. And unless that because of in our lives is taken care of, whatever that because of is, your because of is going to be different than my because of. But once we don't make that the correction, we will always be in opposition to God, what God expects of us. That because of is anything outside of the will of God that can trigger off God's action against us. Please don't misunderstand me to be saying that God is you know, he's out there like a judge with this rod of correction, just looking and waiting for us to mess up. And like you would use a fly swatter in your hand, every time we mess up, he would strike us because we have erred. No, of course not. We have just been told in the Nahum 1 that he is slow to anger. And I like the way the Apostle Paul asks the question about the mercies. We talk about God's mercies and we talk about God's grace. And we know that it is always there, but we have to be careful. I said earlier, not because we know it's there that we're going to try to abuse it. As a matter of fact, we can't. Romans 6:1, the Apostle Paul says, he says, what shall we say then? He says, shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue sinning that grace may abound? In other words, because I know of the grace of God, because I've been taught, I've been preached up by the grace of God, shall I continue sinning? Shall I continue doing wrong, knowing that the grace of God will abound? Shall I continue in error, knowing that the mercy and the favor of God will always be there? It will be increased. It will be greater than sin. Paul is saying, God forbid. Of course not. Because we have been called. We are now dead to sin. And we must not continue in sin. We must not continue therein. But because we are living under grace and not under the law, sometimes it would seem that we are getting away with a lot of things. Because the mercy of God endure it. But we must remember that God is not slack concerning his promises, saints of God. God is not slack concerning his word. We might think that we are getting away. We might think that no one is looking. We might think that no one is seeing, but the eyes of God goes to and forth. And God will pull in that rain one day. What was Israel's sin, or what was Israel because of? Because of something that you are doing, God is going to pull in that rain one day. Because of something that I am doing, God is going to pull me in one day. What was Israel's because of that caused God's anger to come against her? Stated in chapter 1. Because instead of loving God, Jehovah God, the one who redeemed her, the one who called their forefathers, the one who led them, she found herself, Israel found herself courting other lovers. Israel found herself with false gods and the heathen, the worship. So this morning I asked myself that question, and then I asked you the question, what is your because of? That at some point will cause God to bring his action against you. Or that may cause God to move against you. God wants us to be specific. God wants to be specific with us this morning. And I hear God saying that it's where our focus is. Because of where our focus is, and because we are not quite pleasing him, God is sending a word of warning to us this morning. If our focus is not on having God foremost in our programs, then we are just like Israel in Jeremiah's time. Saints of God, the church on the whole, the church of Jesus Christ, is not fulfilling God's mandate that he has given to her. The church on the whole, God's church. Our local churches today, saints of God, have their calendars filled with activities. Everything from A to Z. And very little of G-O-D. Everything from A to Z and very little of G-O-D. And God is not very happy. God is not very pleased with what's taking place. The church, the body of Christ, has shifted her focus from winning souls Are you hearing me this morning? She has shifted from meeting the needs of the poor. She has shifted from reaching out to our widows. She has shifted from her focus of going to the brokenhearted and to healing and the healing of the sick. This pandemic, saints of God, has not only closed the doors of the buildings of some of our churches, but it has also closed the hearts of some believers. Not only have the buildings been closed of some churches, but some of the hearts of believers have been closed to share the plan of the salvation of God to the lost. And this, saints of God, is a critical time for the church as well as it is for us as individuals, as members of the body of Christ. We can't afford, saints of God, to be defeated on the physical front with the pandemic and also be defeated on the spiritual front with a great commission. That would be a double whammy. The pandemic has been defeating the church because of so many buildings that are being closed. And people are growing lukewarm. People are in the comforts of their homes. And at the same time, we don't want to be defeated on the spiritual front with a great commission to go. Matthew 28, we know this well. We know this so hard. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The great commission. He goes on to say, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Go to the bruised, go to the blind, those that are waiting to be set at liberty. That is what we have been commissioned. And saints of God, many a saints, and you, I'm certain you would agree with me because you know this for sure. Many of God's people are sitting in the comforts of our homes and being satisfied with one or two Zoom services a week, and that's the end of our spiritual walk. Zoom has become our means of hearing the word of God, and we're satisfied. And God has been watching, and God is about to move. And whenever he does, his action will be necessary against the body of Christ. When he moves, his action will be justified. And if we don't hasten and amend our ways and change our doings, God will move. I said some of the churches, plural, the body of Christ, have now become so self-centered, and God is about to move against that spirit. It's a spirit, saints of God, that has moved into the body of Christ, just how God moved against Israel. If the church, the body of Christ, does not change its course, God is going to move. And God has been speaking to the church over and over again. If you know the life of Jeremiah, he spoke to God's people for over 40 years, and they hearkened not his word. God has not stopped speaking to the church. God has not stopped speaking to the body of Christ. The trouble is, no one is listening. Body of Christ, she's doing her own thing. What she wants to do and when she wants to do it, and God is not pleased. And God is saying this morning, like how I moved against Israel, so will I move against you because of where your heart is. There is a wrong focus. And saints of God, we are inviting trouble if we don't change the course. If we don't change that trajectory that we are on, we are heading for destruction. The same can be said about us as individuals, because that is where it starts. It starts in us as individuals before it become a corporate thing. But I believe that we have some Jeremiahs among us this morning that can go before God, that can lament. I believe that we have some Jeremiahs that can go before God and express of the sorrow and weep and call out unto God for the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. sense of God, this thing is a spirit thing. So we need to be praying wherever you are for deliverance to come, for the hearts of every Christian to become passionate in these times, in these last and closing days, to reach out to the souls that are being lost. We can be so busy working for Christ from our calendars that we have made up, that we have no time to show love and compassion for others. We become so self-centered. And if the church does not get its heart back in the right place, in that right condition, then the Bible said that the lampstand in the book of Revelation shall be moved from under her. The church's purpose, saints of God, is the same as what was intended for Israel. You see, God's purpose for Israel was to take them into the promised land and to bless them, continue to raise them up, and then he would use them to reach the entire world. But they had plans of their own, and that is why his actions were necessary against them. We as a church, we as the body of Christ, don't want God's action to become necessary to where we are, saints of God. The church of Jesus Christ has a purpose, and it is to reach the lost at any cost. And if we are not fulfilling that purpose, God is going to disappoint us if we keep disappointing him. And that is why we need some Jeremiahs to lament. You might not be crying out loud, but wherever you are, you could be wailing in your heart before God, that we come to our senses before his anger come upon us. We need to go after God's compassion. And I want to end this morning lesson right where this morning, this course right where we began in verse number 22. And it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We have failed him, but he is not going to fail us. He is faithful to deliver us when we cry out for help. We want to ask God this morning, saints of God, to draw us closer to him. Draw us closer to where we can feel his heartbeat. Draw us closer to him where we can become one with him. If you look in chapter 5, I'll read it to your hearing. Judah cried out in chapter 5 of Lamentation, verse number 16. She said, woe unto us, for we have sinned. Judah acknowledged that she was brought to a low place, and her hope now was only in the everlasting God. And look at what verse number 21 of chapter 5 says. It says, restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Goes on to say, renew our days as of old. Our God is a God who forgives all who repents and turns to him. And years later, saints of God, the people of God had returned to Jerusalem, and we know that the temple was rebuilt. But before that, many hard lessons had been learned by the Jews. And saints of God, these lessons that they went through are here for our learning. We shouldn't have to face them. If we turn away from God, he will turn away from us, and that will be to our loss. However, if we repent, God will readily forgive us. But why? Why do we have to go through all this needless pain? Let us never, ever think about turning away from God, and we won't have to go through any of this. So I encourage you, I encourage myself this morning to stay in God. Stay where God has called us. And God will perfect his work in our lives. We never like to close our service without giving an altar call. And if you have joined us this morning, I just want to make a brief altar call to you. If you don't know God as Lord and Savior and you want to know this God, I would like to introduce him to you this morning. I would like for you to repeat this simple prayer after me. The Lord Jesus, I confess my sins. Forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and wash me with the blood of Jesus. I accept you as Lord and Savior. come into my life and save me. If you've said that simple prayer, you are now a child of God. Welcome to the family of God. God bless you this morning. God bless you. Dr. Williams.
You have reminded us that we have a loving, merciful Father. But the warning is we should not take God's compassion for granted. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you. I'm now going to ask Brother Greg to give the day's announcement. Brother Greg.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Yvette Williams. Please pay attention to the announcement. Our services continue at 11 a.m. with our hybrid 11 a.m. service. You have the option of joining by audio, video, or in person. If you wish to join in person, we ask that you follow the rules by our ushers and our medical professionals who will be meeting you at the door. Because of the hybrid nature of our 11 a.m. service, our Sunday school is now at 4 p.m., and it is a remote Zoom teleconference. If you'd like to join and support our young people, you can send an email to info@newlifecog.org. During the week, you can join us on this teleconference line at 1 p.m. for prayer, with the exception of Wednesdays when we meet at 12 p.m. and at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays for Bible study, all on this teleconference line. As a reminder, these calls are recorded, and online on our website at newlifecog.org, you can access the video archives of our 11 a.m. service and the audio and video archives of our 8:30 and our service. I'm now going to turn the service back over to Reverend Dr. Yvette Williams, who will close us out in prayer. After the prayer is said, the call will end. If you'd like to greet your colleagues, you can dial into the 11 a.m. service, where we do keep the line open after the ministry of the word for you to greet your colleagues. We thank you again for supporting us in our 8:30 a.m. service, and we hope to see you at our 11 a.m. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Brother Greg. Before I ask Pastor Baxter to close in prayer, I would like to say thank you to all those who called in to this teleconference service. May God continue to bless you and your family. Also, I would like to ask that we remember the people of Ukraine in our prayer as they are going through this really, really horrible experience. War is always very devastating. Lives are lost. Lives are being disrupted. And so let us keep the Ukrainians in prayer. Thank you again for joining us in our 8:30 a.m. service. May God continue to bless you and your household. We love you and we appreciate you. God bless you. Pastor Baxter, please close and pray.
Praise the Lord. Father God, we look to you right now with grateful hearts. We thank you for your presence in this 8:30 service. We pray, God, that your word has found the ground this morning, God, fertile ground. We pray that someone has been encouraged through your word, O God. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. O God, thank you for this opportunity. We cherish it, O God. We've been encouraged by your word. Bless your people this day, O God, as we leave this conference, but not your presence. Continue with us, O God, as we go about our day's journey, as we go to church, O God. Be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.